Hey, if there's a prayer that you hear me pray quite often, it's a prayer that fits today as much as any other day. So I'm going to pray it. So just join me. Father God, in Jesus' name, by your Spirit, may the words that come out of my mouth be your words. But even more so, may the words that we all hear with our ears be the words that you want us to hear. May we receive what you have for us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you'll see what I mean by that because simply, I believe that. In fact, that I pray more that our ears would hear what God, the Holy Spirit, wants us to hear more than I say all the right things, because I have a complete trust and faith in the Holy Spirit's power to, irregardless of the things that come out of my mouth, he can cause you to hear what he wants you to hear and needs you to hear. In fact, I hope and pray and I trust that you hear something even a little bit more and even greater than the things that I just say. Because the things that I just say are just things that I just say, even though they're of the Lord. But what you hear is really important, to be hearing what the Holy Spirit wants you to hear, because that's where the real work starts to take place. So, with that being said, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and it's been such a fantastic subject. I don't know if I'll ever like to talk about anything else. I just really love what this subject entails, because I think it's all of Scripture like points to that. We've started watching The Chosen. Has anybody in here started or began or finished watching The Chosen? It's been kind of fun in our house. It's enjoyable, super enjoyable. Not only enjoyable, but it's enlightening, and it fits with a lot of who we are here at the Salt Mine. To me, it fits like perfectly. It's like, oh, this is us. Is this work that Jesus is doing and came to do, which is to totally transform that which was established as the religious order of things and bring in his kingdom. And that's what we're about, is bringing the kingdom of God here on earth. Thy kingdom come is a reality, I believe. And Jesus brought it and is still bringing it and bringing it to us and through us. Amen? Amen. You guys know that, right? When I say something that you know that you agree with, just amen it. Because you know that. You know that's true. So I'm going to read a lengthy passage of Scripture this morning. By the way, it's welcome to have some guests here this morning. Ralph and Billy, could you introduce your guests at the table? Even though I know you may not have brought them, but go ahead. Mm-hmm. Stephanie and Arnold, fantastic. Yes, Tammy's daughter, Maddie. Awesome. Yes, poor Maddie's been embarrassed by her mom, by everybody. She's gone around and introduced. We already met Maddie, so that's great. We love your mom, Maddie, a lot. She's a sweetheart to us and a treasure to the Lord, and she knows that. It's neat because Arnold and Stephanie, he was sharing that his son started. Now, how old is your son? 17-year-old young man that's started volunteering here at the food closet. And just great worker. Yeah, Ralph loves him. I know that. And so he came home, obviously, it sounds like. I'm just like picturing this, and talked about the salt mine. And his parents said, well, I need to check it out, right? And that's why you're here today, because your son was volunteering. And that's just awesome, because it's, to me, it's like, this is what it's about. This kingdom work is about this connection in the community, spreading the love of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, promoting Jesus as King and Lord of our lives. Amen? Amen. So I get you like cranked up with the amens here. You guys know this, right? You got to do this, or else I get all irritable, and you don't want me getting irritable up here. Yeah. There you go. See how it works? You get it. Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. I'm going to read quite a few verses, 23 to be exact. Because this is a parable of the sower. This is also recorded in Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8. So, but I like 13 of Matthew because he goes on to teach a whole bunch of other parables in regards to explaining and helping us understand the kingdom of God. And with this one, though, there's this little conversation in between the parable to help us understand why Jesus taught in parables, but also help us understand why this whole idea of parables is really important, and the kingdom of God, and understanding what the kingdom of God is. I think it's fantastic. So listen, so just follow with me if you'd like, or just listen along if you like, however you'd like to see, however you'd like to participate. So verse 1, later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. And then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. And he told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds, and as he scattered them across the field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. And the seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. And other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And his disciples, so they came to him and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? And he replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. That's such that's an enlightening, and yet at the same time, it seems a little bit harsh, because it seems as though if we'll read it as we would read it as Americans with Western culture, it's like that seems as though he's including some and excluding others. But that's not at all what he's doing, because he's always inviting and including everyone to listen in. But he says this, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And what I'm going to talk about in this parable is this understanding of what this secret is. This secret that he's going to deal with in regards to this very parable is something that I believe is needs to be remembered as a kingdom principle and is quickly and easily forgotten, and I'll get there. But others are not. So to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use parables, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. And when you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, that many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. So now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. You don't need to go there, but in Mark, it says it very clearly. It also adds, the seed is the word of God. It doesn't say that in Matthew, but we know this because we know this in Mark and Luke. It says, the seed is the word of God planted in people's hearts. And then the evil one comes in and snatches this seed away that was planted in their hearts. The seed that was sown on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on the good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. This is very, like, if you were to be there, set yourself in that place where Jesus was teaching and hearing these words. It seems a little bit harsh and yet at the same time so true and so enlightening to where it's like, wow, that's awesome and yet that's scary. Because we think we want to be that fertile soil, correct? I mean, who in the room would want to be any of the other three soils? Hopefully nobody. Right? I think you didn't see any hands, which is a good thing. But we would all desire and want to be that fertile soil. So where do we go? How do we take that? And so we need to, I believe, let's try to understand, let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand what Jesus is teaching here in regards to the kingdom. The seed is the word of God. Amen? The soil that he's referring to is the condition of our heart's willingness to receive and humbly submit to his word. There's a key there that we cannot overlook. It's our heart's willingness to receive and humbly submit to his word. Do you hear that?
Okay.
What's on trial here, if I could ask? There's two aspects to this parable that, if you will, or two particulars. You have the seed and the soil. Which one's on trial? The soil. Correct. The soil is on trial. The seed is not on trial here. What do I mean by that? The seed is not on trial, but we are. Or actually, I can say it like this. I can say it. I wrote this down because it's really, really good. So some of this I'm just going to read because I'm going to tell you. If I could say this with confidence and no arrogance, you are blessed to be hearing this stuff today. And I mean that. And I mean that because this is really good stuff. The authenticity and validity of God and his word are not dependent on the fruit that it produces. Wow. But wait a second. What about we'll be known by our fruits? No, listen. The seed that was planted was the same seed that was planted on the path, on the rocky soil, amongst the thorns, and amongst the fertile soil. The seed did not alter. The seed did not change. The seed is not on trial. God's word and God are not on trial. We are. What happens and what we do with God's word and who God is, that's what's being looked at. That's the fruit that we are known by, what we do with God's word. Hello? So this is pretty awesome because, you know, when you look at it, it makes sense with all of Scripture. You know, we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? And even if we are faithless, he remains what? Faithful. He never changes. He does not alter. There is no shifting shadow in him. He remains the same. And that's true. That is so true. And I believe it's becoming a forgotten kingdom principle. This forgotten kingdom principle is on us, listen, to allow him to transform us. And I needed to be really careful of how I said that. It's on us to allow him to transform us. You guys get that? Let's talk about it some more. And I hope it starts your like brain going like, this is a little bit challenging for me. Because it ought to be, I'm hoping it messes us up a little bit.
Is that weird to want to mess you up a little bit?
Only so God can fix us. You know, the longer I walk with God, the longer I listen to God, the more that I pay attention to God and what God's doing in me, the more I realize that it's God is always right, and I'm the one that always needs, more or less, needs to be corrected and aligned with Him. Have you realized that? The longer we walk with God, the more we realize that I need to align myself more with Him. Because when you're young and you're full of like this vinegar and this like this oomph, let's go. You think I can do anything and I can do all things and we could do this and it's me and God and get out of my way, Satan, right? And that's good. That's good. But the longer we walk with God, we're thinking, God, I just want to get behind you. I don't want to get in front of you. I don't want to get to the side of you. I don't want to get anywhere but behind you. Because you are the truth. You are the way. And you are the life. So when we talk about this, what's on trial here is our willingness to allow Him to transform us and make us into His image. Yes, brother. We, as I said, if I could say it exactly how I wrote it down, is the willingness to receive and humbly submit to God's word is the soil. It's that condition of our heart. So yes, there's a soil of our heart, if you will, that is the seeds of God are being planted in continuously on a regular basis. I believe, and you guys know I say this all the time, God is always speaking. God is always ministering. God does not relent to let us do our own thing, go our own way. He's constantly speaking into our lives. How much of us is listening is on trial. How much of us is receiving with humility and willing to submit to it, obey it, is what's on trial. So what you said is yes, but I think there's a lot more to it than just yes. It's just me is the soil. Yeah, we are the soil. Me are the soil. You are the soil. Hello? Debbie's like, I don't know. I'm confused now. It's okay. I love having a small church because, or being a part of one, because I could see all your faces and I get your expressions. And it's A-okay. Good. Okay. So here's where I believe in what I said something. I said this is becoming a forgotten kingdom principle, because here's the opposite of that. And I hear this out of Christians' mouth, stuff like this, quite often. If God wants me to change, He'll make me stop. No, well, I hear that. Well, if God wants me to go this way, then He'll open up the doors and He'll push me through that door. If God wants me to do this, then He'll make me do it. And it's not a kingdom principle. It's really a westernized, modern-day principle, which I feel like that's what, it's an individualistic type of thinking, which I think is extremely problematic for our culture, for Christianity, for the kingdom of God, because it doesn't fit in the kingdom's principles. It doesn't fit in kingdom teaching. That's why you guys heard me say different things that are a little hard to sometimes comprehend is, you know, the kingdom and democracy, the kingdom of God and the democracy don't mesh up all the time. In fact, very rarely do they mesh up. And yet we want to make it about America, and we're a Christian nation, and we want to make everything about this and everything about all these principles we stand on as Americans, which are good and true and right. And if they're going to take any form of government in the world, take democracy. It's the best. But it's not the kingdom of God. It's not the kingdom of God. And we're to seek first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness. And then all these things will come into play, right? I know that's I'm not anti-America when I say that. I'm pro-kingdom of God more than anything. Amen? All right, good. So when we say stuff like, if God wants me to stop, He'll make me change, essentially what we're doing, we're placing God and His word on trial, as opposed to my willingness to humbly submit to Him and His Word. Did you hear that? And I believe that the last thing that anybody in this room would want is to be deceived. Anybody want to be deceived? Anybody. I mean, how many of you have been duped in today's market of social media that you get friend requests from people that you're already friends with? Messages from them that you're like, and you're thinking, what's going on here? There's something, there's a deception, there's something that's they're trying to get into my system and mislead me, misdirect me, or steal from me. I don't want to be deceived. Anybody else want to be deceived? Can I get some, at least some involvement in that? Come on, guys. Does anybody want to be deceived? No. Heck no. Heck no. We don't want to be duped. But listen to this. Self-deception is a very real and present danger. Self-deception is a very real and present danger. Have you noticed how self-deception is easily noticed and recognized and seen by others, but obviously we don't see it in ourselves? Right? We become professional hearers and don't doers, as James would say. James describes that person as not seeing themselves clearly, or as I would say, evaluating others by their actions, which is fine. It's not judgment. It's evaluating others by their action, but evaluating yourself by your intentions. You're deceiving yourself. Because that's what God is always looking at, the fruit that comes out of that seed that's planted in your heart. This is getting deep, huh? Is it a little too deep? Okay, I'll just jump back into some shallow end, but nah, it's about the mid-range here. Authentic Christians are new creatures. Physically, they won't look different than others. In other words, you'll look pretty much the same, mostly. At least not in the way you dress or keep your hair. In other words, you'll look like you did once you say yes to Jesus, the moment you say yes to Jesus. But yet real Christians are, and this is what Jesus was bringing, this kingdom of heaven that he was bringing, and that's why we're loving this TV show, The Chosen, because simply it brings Jesus into light just like this. It's dealing with the people's hearts. With our hearts, with my heart. Real Christians are radically changed from within. They've experienced a new birth, received a new heart, and enjoy new desires of that heart, which makes them altogether new people who live with new lives. That's the kingdom of God. That's what we're signing up for. And it shows, it shows. See, because if we've humbly submitted to the seed planted in our hearts, it will reveal itself in your life. In other words, it will produce something. Hello? It'll produce something. So it's revealed in your life. Real Christians bear the marks of authentic faith in ways that can be seen in your actions, heard in your words, and felt by others from your spirit. Did you hear that? Let me reread that, because that was a really good one. When I wrote it down, I was like, oh, that's really good. I got excited within myself, by myself. I was like, this was, where did I leave off? I can't even remember where it is. Real Christians bear the marks of authentic faith in ways that can be seen in your actions, heard in your words, and felt by others from your spirit. Amen? Come on. You guys know what I'm talking about here, right? We know what we're talking about. Have you ever walked in a room and just felt the presence of God there, and it was just a person or people? It was that person or people brought the presence of God there. And then if you walked in a room where you just felt so tense and like, oh, I got to get out of here and go take a shower. Because that was an opposite spirit, a contrary spirit that was looking at you in judgment or looking at you with lust or looking at you with like, ooh, what can I get from you? You know, we've walked in those rooms, right? So this is something that's noticed and seen by others in your life. So I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to get here real quick, and this is, actually I am going pretty quick. Wow. I don't need to be quick anymore. I'm at a good place, at a good pace. You will be known by your fruit, right? We know that's what Jesus said. You will know them by their fruit. So in Psalm 119, I want to look at this. This is, there's, of course, anybody read Psalm 119? Yeah? Anybody tell me how many verses are in Psalm 119? Where's that? What? Quite a few?
172.
Yeah. I was just going to say a lot, but that's good. Fruit-producing prayers backed by and proven by Psalm 119, some different passages. There's seven of them that I want us to look at. And so Michael's going to pop them up there if you want to jot them down. They're really simple, but yet I think they're very helpful in our lives to keep ourselves from being self-deceived and walking with authenticity and genuineness in faith to God. Number one is God, here's a prayer, God, incline and enlarge my heart towards you. Incline my heart towards your testimonies. And Psalm 119:36 says, I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. See, it's applying God's word, actually running after the things of God. Say, looking into, searching, seeking, wanting to, desiring that because you are a new creation now with new desires, desiring the word of God to transform you and running after it, going after those things. And when we see the word of God, when we hear the word of God, when we're engaging with the word of God, when the seed of God's word is planted in my heart, what do I do? Do I run after to cultivate that? So praying that, asking God to help me, to enlighten me, to help me to chase after the things of God in his word. Psalm 119:30. Is that right? Did I say it right? Yeah. Make sure I got the right one. Yeah. Number two, these are prayers. If I skip something or miss it, just holler at me. Help me understand what I read and what I hear. Or help me understand the seed that's planted. Hello? Amen. Come on. I know that some of us need a lot of help understanding the seeds that are planted. All right. You guys aren't leaving me up here by myself, are you? Okay. All right. Help me understand what I read. Make me understand the way of your precepts. This is Psalm 119, verse 27. Help me and make me to understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. So this is something that David's, he's crying out, help me to understand what you're speaking, what you're saying to me. And that's a real, genuine, authentic prayer to pray. Help me understand. Help me to know this and so that I can apply it. not without, like, I'll just use myself, so I won't use a person other than myself. And I'll pretend I'm back at school, you know, in high school, trying to learn Spanish. And I'm going to confess, I took Spanish class, signed up for it, showed up at the class my junior year, sat in there for, I think I went there 2 days. I immediately went to the counselor and said, I got to get out of here. I cannot do this. I cannot understand it. All she wants to do is speak in Spanish, and I'm not signing up for it. So what I what I didn't do was what this is encouraging us to do, is instead of just saying, nope, I don't get it, shut the book, forget it. I'll go to church on Sunday and maybe he'll explain it to me. I'm saying, I believe this, and I believe this is part of the new covenant, because it is, it's in Jeremiah that he talks about the new covenant I'll give you, is where we will no longer need to be taught by a man. God will teach us all. I will put my commandments in their heart, and I will speak to them. They will be my people, and I will be their God. And that's what he's referring to, is God, the Holy Spirit, working inside of us, helping us understand. Even the simpleton can understand the awesome godly principles of God's word and apply them. I've seen that happen so many times in people's lives. I've seen that happen with so many people where their lives seem like they'll go going nowhere, and then they just simply walk forward trusting God, and God opens up their understanding to be able to perceive and understand and know God's word and apply it to their lives, because they have a fertile soil, a willingness to humbly submit to what God says, and they seek the understanding of God's word. I believe that to be 100% possible for each and every one of us, all of us, to help us understand and know what God is saying in his word. Number three, make me diligent. This is a good one. Make me diligent to keep your words. And Psalm 119:56 says this, this blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. And then Psalm 119 verses 2 and 4, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. You see what he's saying there is this is a relationship with God that we are to apply and we're to put into practice. This is a two-way street that God says, here, let me plant this in your heart. Now you go do it. You keep it. But this is so awesome. But here's the great news about this principle is that as God says, here's something for you to do, he doesn't just say, now just go figure it out how to do it. He actually empowers us, not only gives us understanding of how to do what God wants us to do, but he actually empowers us to do it. That's what grace all is. And that's awesome. Isn't that an awesome truth to know and really like stand on, that the grace of God doesn't leave us to figure it out all on our own. He gives us a people of God to do it together, and he gives us his Holy Spirit to empower us. So when we're struggling with just faith, with trust, with understanding of what God wants us to do, if we push into and tap into the power of God, I believe that he empowers us, because I've seen it. I'm a walking testimony of somebody that's totally incapable of doing anything that I am doing at this point in time in my life, or at any time in my life. But it's the power of God that has empowered me to be all that God's created me to be. And I know that's all cliche-ish and stuff, but it's true. It's God. It's the grace of God. Amen? Number four. You guys doing well with me still? These are I think, really awesome prayers to pray as we seek and allow God to transform us, to be the fertile soil for God's seed to take. These are, I think, great prayers to... If I could say it this way, I'll say it this way. This is the rototilling up of the heart, the soil in your heart. By praying these prayers and really aligning yourself with these prayers. Number four. Pour your light on the path of my life. For your word is a lamp unto my feet and your light unto my path. And another verse says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. That's 119 verses 105 and 119 verses 30. 130. Thank you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's an illustration I want you to follow with me. I think it helps me understand and explain what this really entails. How many of you utilize your GPS system on your phone or your technical device at all? A bunch. Most of us do. Most of us do. There's something that I do all the time, but here's the thing, is I got to do what it says to do, right? Have you noticed something on a GPS? Now, I have an Apple device, so if yours is different, I don't know, but mine does this, I'll punch in an address, and I'll push go. You got to do a couple of steps. You got to first push directions, and it pops up the directions, and it'll give you some directions, but then you got to push go. And what that does is what does go do? It
starts the route,
connects you to the satellite, right, to where, you know, now they're following me, which is kind of weird, but it's how it is. They know exactly where I'm at, and it's funny when I push go, and the next stop that I'm going to stop at is only like 2 blocks away. I didn't realize that, but I push go, and it's 2 blocks away. It gives me a walking route. I don't know how many times I have in Sun City, Lincoln Hills area, it's directed me to the walking route through a golf cart path that a car can't get to. Like, gosh, now I got to go all the way around and do this whole thing, because it was like it was only 2 minutes to walk this way, but now it's 5 minutes to drive around that way. So here, when you push go, what it does is it then starts to direct you, right? Now, in this directing you, what it will do, it'll tell you where you're supposed to go, the direction you're supposed to go, and it'll give you your next turn. You notice this? Pay attention next time. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe you just listen to it. I don't have the voice on. I don't use the voice. I don't like somebody yelling at me all the time. They do. I just have to shut it off because it's like they're always yelling at me. And it doesn't matter what language I put them in. They're still yelling at me. So I just mute them. Here's what will happen is I'm pushing this. See, every once in a while, I'll be tinkering or doing something, and I'll push a little button or the arrow, and it goes to what is called bird's eye view. Has everybody happened to you? Bird's eye view where it just kind of whoop, it I don't know what you call it. It doesn't zoom in. It telephotos out, and it's all, and then it immediately calibrates to north. And it immediately calibrates to north. And as my phone is going this way and I'm going that way, all of a sudden it's got my directions going that way. And I'm like, where do I go? I don't know. My brain does not compute like that. And I know some of your brains work really well that way, but mine doesn't. So I have to instantly go back to turn by turn. So I push turn by turn, but here's what happens. And this is what I want us to hear today. And this is one of the principles I think is really good. And this is what I believe is his word is a light unto my path and a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. When I say this, I'm referring to God is not GPS. But the GPS will give you the next turn. And it doesn't give you the next turn until you make that turn. Have you noticed that? It's really irritating to me. It super irritates me because I want to know what lane to get into. Or maybe if I turned the volume up and listened, I could probably, it'd probably tell me that. Well, I'm still not going to do it. So here's what I believe is a step of faith, a walk of faith, is that we've got to trust God to make the turn that he tells us to go, and then when we make that turn, he'll give us the next turn. See, sometimes we want God to give us the bird's eye view, tell us everything, show us everything. What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? What's the 10 years going to be like? What's that going to be like down the road? And that's okay. That's not evil. That's not bad. That's not wrong. But what I want to encourage us in is to trust God to take the next step. And when you take the next step, and when you walk by faith, and when you obey with humble submission to what God says to do, He will lead you and direct you to take the very next one. He will not leave you hanging. He won't leave you out to dry. He will lead you and direct you. It's a promise. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do we believe it? Do we really believe it? If we really believe it, we'll walk on the path that God is lighting up. And He only lights up a path that is in compliance with His word. Amen. Man, that got me excited. That's really cool stuff. I told you you'd be blessed if you showed up here today. This is really good stuff. But we got to walk in humble submission. And I believe this is the soil, the fertile soil of God's, of our heart, that God plants the seed. He'll plant the seeds in your heart. Do this, trust me. Do this, trust me. Obey me. Do it this way, do it that way. We've got to stay in that lane, on that path, with humble submission to what He's telling us to do. Amen? Whew. Okay. Yeah, now it's starting to sweat, so I'll tighten it up here. Number five, strengthen me in sorrow. Strengthen me in sorrow and keep pride far away from my heart. I was like, as I wrote that, I'm like, because this is a something that I want us to see and understand is that I believe this is a, and I've talked about this a few weeks ago, I believe about kingdom attitude is always repentant. We're always repentful. There's always repentance going on in our lives because that's what He says. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I believe that they go in line, they come together, an attitude and of repentance. And because pride will always cause a stumble and a fall. In fact, He says it in Proverbs. He says, pride goes before a fall. It's not, and you guys have heard me say this before, that's not like a maybe, possibly, or maybe you'll stumble and trip, but you can catch yourself because you got good hands, right? Uh-uh. He says, pride always goes before a fall. Always. Develop pride in your heart and you will fall. And then He takes it another step farther and He says, an arrogant or a haughty spirit is the word He uses. Haughty, H-A-U-G-H-T-Y. Haughty spirit will bring destruction. So pride will bring stumbles and falls. Haughtiness will bring you all the way down. So it only makes sense to walk in humble repentance. I'm not there yet. I won't be there until I'm in eternity. And guess what? None of you will be either. None of us are there yet. None of us are there yet. There's always room for growth. There's always room for repentance. There's always something to be repentful for. That's why I said that the more I walk with God, the more I learn that I'm the one that needs to constantly align myself with Him. Because I'll go crooked in a second. I mean, it doesn't take much to make me go crooked. I think a lot of you will, you agree, because it's, you're just like me. Number six, shield me, and I love this, shield me from every kind of distraction. And I think this fits in the seed that was sown amongst the thorns, because there's so many things out there in this world that will choke us out, if you will, choke us and keep us from producing fruit. So this is asking God to shield me, asking God to help me and shield me, put a hedge of protection around me, turn my eyes, this is Psalm 119:37, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. I think that's okay to ask God to do. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. and keep me. Wait, turn my, and give me life in your ways. Because see, what's happened is where we turn our eyes to, and Stephen spoke about this last week, the direction that we turn our focus to is the direction we're going to go. And so when we turn our focus towards the kingdom of heaven, that's the direction we're going to go. When we turn our focus towards the things of this world, whether it's monetary things, whether it's promotion, whether it's people-pleasing, that's the direction we're going to go. We're going to go in the direction that we face our eyes to. Amen? I mean, that only makes sense. It looked kind of silly going down the road like this all the time, right? Well, I'm looking this way, but I'm going that way. Well, you don't do that as a Christian. You look silly, like I just did. Number seven, this is good. Keep your promises. So this is asking God to be God. I like this. Keep your promises, God. Keep your promises. Don't let me down. Keep your promises. Uphold me according to your promise that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Psalm 119, 116. And your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, verse 140. I encourage you to go and read Psalm 119. Listen to it if you'd like to. It's really good stuff. It'll encourage you to trust God in His Word. It will bless you, convict you a little bit, but it will do good work. Toil up the soil of your heart. I believe fertile soil prays a prayer with genuine authenticity, to where we really believe it and we really desire it. And it's a prayer that says, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And so I'm asking you to join me in this prayer, in this perspective, in this walk. That may my heart be receptive to your word. And may I be a receiver of the seed of God, but not just for myself, so I could sow it. Do you hear that? A receiver and a sower. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. And I love that. And I think there's something about this parable that Jesus is telling, and he says it in one of the, I think it's in Mark, where he says something. He says, as the disciples asked, explain to us this parable. And he says, he kind of puts them on blast, and he says, well, if you don't understand this one, how will you understand any of the others? Because I think this is key. It's crucial to us to understanding what God does in us and through us, and what God is doing in others and through them. It's not about a bunch of rules and regulations and stuff that we put on ourselves, but it's us listening to and obeying with humility and submitting to the Word of God planted in our hearts. That's where real work happens. That's where real stuff takes place. Amen? Amen. Let's pray and worship the Lord. Father God, we just thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you are so real and alive and at work. This isn't some new religion. We are trusting in you, a real, live, living, intentional, loving God that loves us right where we're at, but loves us so much that doesn't allow us to stay where we're at. And that we thank you for, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are so active in our lives. And we invite you and ask you to get even more active, to get more involved. Continue to make us and transform us into your image. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen.